sobering today. Yesterday, I after I had my retreat, and I had a cousin of mine come. I went out, and I was going to have mass and dinner. And I came home, and as I arrived, one of my brother priests, Father Cipriano, said, Monsignor Philip Gray died during the night.
Mm.
He's someone who sits at table with me. We exercise together in the exercise room, and I've come to be quite friendly with in these past 3 years since I've been here. And now he's just dead. And when I read what our Lord was saying today in the gospel, I was thinking, oh my, how timely this is. Our Lord says, someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. He replied to him, Friend, who made me for you judge and arbiter? Then he said to them, Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich in one's life, it does not consist of possessions. Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced bountiful harvest. He asked himself, What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest. And he said, This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods. And I shall say to myself, Now, as for you, you have so many good things stored away for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich in what matters to God. And so I was, you know, I quickly made my prayer for Monsignor Gray, and I then came in and I thought, oh my goodness, what an event like that just moved me to be aware myself of where is my security? What do I put my trust in? Am I really having a peaceful time, a secure time, because I'm trusting the diocese, I'm trusting this place, I'm trusting in things that give me my security to eat, to drink, to live? Or, you know, the whole camouflage of life, because I do know this, every beat of my heart, every breath I take, every step is from God. It's my Father who gives me this. And I am a steward of all that I have. Do I put my trust in possessions? And so it was a real awakening call to me. If Monsignor Gray trusted in, now, you see, how do I know the interior dispositions? I don't think I've really talked about that deeply with him. I may do that with people who are on retreat, but you know, with a priest that you live with, I would hope that you and members of your family probe your security more deeply and are able to share that. But I must say, as a priest, you know, I took a resolution that maybe I should talk about that more with, not all the time, but I think sometimes I couldn't think of a time that Monsignor Gray and I shared more deeply on the level. It was more casual on basketball. He was a great basketball fan, on maybe weather, and on the events of the day. More surfacey conversation. And I do know I probe those things in my own retreats and in my own life. But I do very often with those on this podcast. But it was quite a wonderful occasion that touched very deeply on the events of the gospel. And the gospel today, where do I put my trust? And how much do I put my trust in bonds, stock, my investments? What is the value of my life? Is it in the accumulation that I have of things? And all of us can do that. If you're a priest and you're listening to me, I think it's very important that you probe more deeply because of this gospel event and because of faith that Jesus says in the other text of today's Mass. In the Romans. Romans is very powerful today on where do I get my security? It's in faith. It's faith that Abraham had. It's not in the works that I do, but it's in the faith that I have. And it's very strong. The father of many nations is what Abraham was called to be. And he believed, hoping against hope, that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, "Thus shall you and your descendants be." He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body as already dead, for he was almost 100 years old, and the dead womb of Sarah. He did not doubt God's promise in unbelief. Rather, he was empowered by faith and gave glory to God and was fully convinced that what he had promised, he was the father of many nations. Because of his faith. And then Paul goes on to say that the faith of Abraham is also that faith that not only did he receive it, but we, and Mary echoes this, his descendants forever. That the source of our faith is Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead and is in glory with God. And so our faith is in Christ. Now, when it comes that Jesus is telling us today, don't place your security, your faith, in possessions. Well, I really believe in my own journey that one of the most dramatic experiences that I have had with regard to attachment to possessions is an awareness of what others don't have, that I take for granted, and that I was unaware that God was giving them to me, and I wasn't really enlightened until I left this country to live in another country. I was 39 years old. I was a priest for 14 years, and I went to Peru, and it was the first time I was out of the United States, and mainly those 14 years I was a priest in the Diocese of Scranton. There I was sent to a very poor area. It was almost 1,000 miles north of Lima, and it was in the driest desert of the world, really, the Sechura Desert, and there was a shortage of water. I don't believe most Americans and most of you who are listening to me will realize what water is. But it was there for the first time in wanting to live where there were no wells, where you had to go and carry water. That how many people in the world carry water from the river and bring it to their homes? And if there is any piping, it's down to some place where there is an area where people have to go to fill their buckets and their water. And they carry them home for cooking, for cleaning, for bathing. How important water is. That water in the area that we were was so saline, and it was also deadly. It had to be filtered, and it had to be purified. It had to be boiled so as not to get sick on it. And for us to get any water that was really good, we had to take huge 10-gallon cans, fill up our Jeep, and once a week bring potable, drinkable water back to the rectory. How we savored good water. And how we take for granted, you know, our showers, our toilets. All right, then you can just walk over and get a drink of water. I think for many, many of us, water is such a valuable possession. Food. I don't think we realize just how many areas of the world are dying and have starvation diets and where there's hunger. So many families, so many people who don't have and so many times because of the way it's prepared and how to live and to survive. How many children, because of a lack of sanitation, because of a lack of health and health measures, are sickly and die very early. Pregnancies and the kind of hospital or lack of that kind of prenatal care. We are so rich. And even those of us who think we're poor are rich because of the structures we have around us. Why does everyone want to be here in these United States? Because when you go out of this country, and how many countries and people in the world have so little? And although we think we're on hard times, the kind of huts and the ground, just living on dirt and calamina houses that they live in, I really believe their dwellings, transportation to, you know, how many people walk? They walk where they have to go. When I was in Ethiopia there, I could just see people walking for miles and miles and miles simply to get some food. I really believe that event of living in that climate for those years have made me aware of, give us this day our daily bread. That when I would come back from Peru and walk into a supermarket, how vast is our abundance. You know, when our Lord says today in that parable, when we store up all these goods, I think we as Americans have to really realize that amongst the nations, we have been so blessed. And so we are going to be responsible, but also a spirit of avarice can take over. Now, what is the spirit of avarice? And our Lord is putting his finger on it today. When we put our trust in possessions, when instead of trusting God, when we say, and the essence of what God's trust is, give us this day our daily bread. When we say that to God, a child of God can say that in Peru, and a child of God can say that in Uruguay, and a child of God could say that in Brazil, and a child of God could say that any place in the world, in Uzbekistan or Pakistan. That when we pray, we can ask God, give us this day our daily bread. And where is your faith? It's in God who's going to give it to us. When I examined myself last night and I found out that Monsignor Gray died, his heart stopped beating. Every beat of his heart was from God. Every breath that he took was from God. Every step that he made. That same thing is true of me. But today, his steps, his beating heart, his death, God is saying, what did you do with what I gave you? I was the one who gave it to you. If you put your possessions and thought you were going to live, and if you have stock and bonds, and that's where your possession was, where your wealth was, where your security was, then I have to make an adjustment. That's why that was so important for me in preparation for today's podcast. Because he has to answer that for himself. But in the death of my brother who sat by me, what about me? Everything that I have is from him. The spirit of poverty is the awareness that we are stewards of the gifts we possess. Everything that I have is not mine. Everything that I have, God gave me. So that I really believe one of the most important things I learned from Mother Teresa and her sisters is that they lived in that poverty that I experienced when I went to South America, and they lived it with the poor. When my first awareness of being in poverty, I kept comparing it with what was here in the United States and what I had there. And I thought, now I'm truly living this. But my dependency as an American was so different than the dependency of what Mother Teresa and her sisters were. It's how they grasped the spirit of the poorest of the poor. You see, to be living in the area where there's poor and to be aware, as they are in their mother house, not to have the toilets, but to become adopted to how they have their toilets. And so they had drains. They didn't have our toilets. When they ate the way the poor ate. And their sustenance was to live not with any luxury, so that really the people in my parish would see that I had a different standard of living than they did. And I think they excused me, but I wasn't really witnessing as those women were when I saw them living the life of the poor. And when they washed their clothes, they didn't have washing machines. And when they took the water, how they respected water, and that, you know, in their, how they scrubbed their clothes as the natives did, how they lived according to the pattern. Now, no matter where those sisters go, so that if they come to the United States, they have all these luxuries, but they are very aware that they're very luxurious. I know when I go to be with the missionaries of charity, and I would have, and they would offer me, the luxury of a shower. It wouldn't have hot water. What a thing that is, to be aware as you take your hot shower, as you go to the bathroom, as you go to the faucet to drink your water, as you sit down to have your meals. When we say in our homes today, bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from your bountiful hands through Christ our Lord. Amen. The cereal that I eat is from you, Lord. The milk that I pour upon it is from you, Lord. And God is providing me with the coffee that I drink, the tea that I drink. How important it is to grasp the significance and attitude of the steward. The house that I live in is not mine. It's God's. God is giving me this shelter. When I bless the home and enthrone the home, the father of that home and the mother become aware, this is your house, Lord. These are your possessions. What's in this house belongs to you. You have loaned them to us. We are always stewards, and we want to use all that we have for your honor and glory. We thank you. The poor man, as Mary, as the poor little Francis of Assisi, knows that the clothes I wear, the food I eat, the breath I breathe is from God. And God is the one to whom I return gratitude. My attitude and the of a poor man and who is really in tune with who he is or who she is the attitude of the daughter to her father, of a son to his father. And we can say with Jesus, who was the one who had this attitude, I have received all things from my Father, and how rich I am. Now, do I worry about tomorrow? No. Jesus said, the attitude is, he has given it to me. Won't he anticipate giving it to me tomorrow? When tomorrow comes, but the worry, the anxiety, the fear is when I place my security in possessions. And so am I really content today because of the money I have in the bank and because of the security I place in others who are going to take care of me? The attitude of the one who really is secure in God, we trace every day deeper and deeper the one who supplies us. The font of all goods is in the heart of Jesus, is the Father. And so when we pray the Our Father, we are aware every day, give us, O Lord, our daily bread. And we put that word in there because that's really what we're asking for. And if we live that way, what a magnificent moment it was when Monsignor Philip Gray was called home. And if he was in that attitude, but if he was, so there's all kinds of things that his death has immediately brought into my thoughts and my life this morning. His death is a marvelous awareness for me, and I offer it to you this morning. We are on loan from God. We are constantly in debt to God, for God is constantly giving us moment to moment to moment. And when the moment comes that he's calling us back to himself, he already has that in mind. He knows the fullness of our years and the completion of our time. For each one of us, God has a plan. And he has a desire to fulfill us every day until that plan is complete. God, who made heaven and earth, is caring for us, is taking care of us, is watching over us. And so on this Monday in the responsorial psalm, when we hear these readings on faith, when we hear these readings from the gospel on greed, we respond, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. This Benedicite, the blessed be God, that Zacharias said at the birth of John, is our response. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people. What does this do? It sets us free. It frees us from worry, anxiety, fear. We are not the source and the font of our lives. The rich man, when he puts his trust in his possessions, these possessions, no matter what they are, if they be $1 billion, there's no amount that it could be can give me the security and the peace that God, who is the source, gives me. Because you never, ever know that you can live till tomorrow. This will be the time that I will demand your life of you. And we never, ever really know. This, if I see this as today, the last opportunity that I may have to talk to you about this, and if I see this also as a marvelous opportunity for me to shift my attitude of security, not to the money I have, the associations I've made, the people I'm with, but if I could shift myself to the font of all who has given me everything, God, my Father, then if I really have that faith interiority, and I say to God, our Father, give us this day our daily bread. It's so rock bottom secure that peace flows through me. There is no greater source of security. Who is this Father of ours? He is the God who made the universe. He not only made the sun and the moon and the stars, this Milky Way in which we live, we're beginning to see that he made 900,000 others like it. And this little speck called Earth that we share, God made heaven and earth and the 6 billion people that are on it. And he loves me. And he cares for me. This God, who is so powerful, is gazing at me and wants to take care of me more than I want or need to take care of myself. This is the God that Monsignor Philip Gray is standing before now. And if he has been prepared, see, every person that passes tells us a story. And they have a story now to tell us, our parents who are dead, my sister who is dead, and all of them. How do we live? And this is the time of accounting. And I am going to tell God my story. And today, because of this marvelous experience that I had when I came in last night, this table made mine, this friend, is dead. And it's an opportunity for me to re-examine myself, because we can all become quite sloppy and irresponsible and taken for granted. All of the gifts that God is giving us on a daily basis. If we continue on with that, blessed be God, through his holy people, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. His promise of mercy he's going to keep. And that promise is what we have today in the Eucharist. As I look forward and he says, how much Do I love you, my children? I give you my son. I give you my son as a banquet. How much do you love us, Jesus, who died and rose from the dead? I give you my body. I give you my blood. I lay down my life from you. Oh, Lord, give me the faith and the confidence and the trust to pray and not to worry, to find my security not in my stocks and bonds and associations and my good name or whatever it else that I put my security in. Help me to find my peace in you, for you have made me for yourself, for you alone, and I shall not rest until I rest in you. Eternal rest grant unto Monsignor Philip Gray, O Lord, and may perpetual light shine upon him. May his soul and all the souls of the faithful departed, to the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. For those who have had that blessing of material possessions, once there's a realization that that is indeed a blessing, what are they called to do beyond that?
I think realistically, Chris, I have met many people, riches, and our Lord, and it's the spirit of the Gospels. Our Lord says it's a very huge temptation. Those people who have and been blessed with much, many times do not see themselves as stewards, but owners of the, and it's so easy. Just like I don't consider myself a rich man, but when I forget that everything I have comes from him and it falls into stewardship, then I have to examine myself. And there's a huge way that I fall into thinking that I'm the possessor and the controller of this. How many times can I fall into thinking that I have the power? So I can become a rich man without knowing it, in the sense that I take over authority and control. And really, God is the one who's the author and owner of everything I have. And so as you have, supposing you're well, I see my brother George as a very a great example of what you're saying. You know, and there were many times in his life, or some time in his life, when he was kind of possessed by the Rolls Royce, by the yachts, and by the possessions, airplanes, and the things that he had. See, and our Lord said, take care that you do not place your security in your possessions. Well, thank God he heard that. But it's very difficult for a rich man to hear that is not yours. And your heart can become so hard that this is my possession. These homes are mine. This wealth is mine. And the man who has riches can very easily think that they belong to him. And so to you who have so much, and I would say many of us have to examine your possessions, and then see whether you have turned them over to God, and whether you're asking God how to use them in his honor and for his glory. Is he the one that you acknowledge the owner rather than yourself? Now you become a steward. Now you know that all that you have and all that you possess, you fathers and mothers, when you enthrone your home to the Sacred Heart, it may not be a huge mansion, but it is whatever it is a humble place that God has given you, and everything in it is His. And all those children are not yours, they're His. And all the gifts that you have are His. And so the talents and the blessings that you have received, for a human being to live the life of the gospel that Jesus is pointing out today, really requires deep faith and a constant awareness. And I think your question is so beautiful, to re-examine all of us, how we look at our possessions. Are we the owner or the steward? I really believe that you and I have occasions, maybe there's someone dying in your family, or some funeral that you're about to go to, and why not take it as an opportunity for a self-examination? Ask the Lord, Lord, if I appear before you today, how do I stand with regard to my attitude and awareness of my possessions? Do I really see all that I have and all that I am as belonging to you? All that I have, all that I am, all that I'll ever have, I offer now to you. Take and sanctify these gifts for your honor, Lord. Knowing that you love me is enough reward. All that I do, all that I pray, all that I'll ever have, I offer to you today. God bless.